Moncrief on News Talk.
Communion season is in full swing. Many parents might be wondering how their child should manage these cash gifts. The average cash a child receives cumulatively for their communion is now averaging €588. My first guest today used this as an opportunity to teach his kids about investment and has literally paid dividends. Joining me now is Michael Houghton, host of the Irish Fire podcast, a show about financial independence. Michael, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Tom, how are you?
I'm very well. Your poor child was just, you know, counting their blessings there with this money, and you swooped in to snatch it from them and get them to invest in something, did you?
A little bit. I obviously let him spend some, but it was more that question when he asked, what am I going to do with the rest? And I saw that as an opportunity maybe just to teach him a little bit about investing.
This is about 2 years ago, is it?
It was actually back in 2020, so it was just during COVID time. So yeah, he had about €700 all in, and he spent about 200, and he had 500 left trying to work out what to do with that. And I thought it might be a nice opportunity for me to see if I could maybe make him think about how he could get a return in the long run on that. And he was very passionate about Nintendo. He loved Mario and all those sort of things. So I said, look, why don't you buy some Nintendo stock? And he kind of perked up at me and said, what do you mean? I said, well, you can actually become a part owner of Nintendo. And he got quite excited about that. And he got even more excited when I said, and actually by holding the stock, you're entitled to receive some of the profits that they make year on year. And that's when it really perked up his interest, which is effectively what a stock is and how investing works. So that was our kind of way to get him interested. And yeah, we bought it in my name, but we bought stock in my name for him, I guess, and some Nintendo stock and then some index funds, which is, I guess, a collection of companies, collection of the top companies, just to get him interested to see, and to get used to the notion of investing.
Right. And when the moment came and his fund is taken away from him, and any potential plans he has of raiding the sweet shop or anything over the coming weeks is gone completely. How was he then?
Yeah, so I mean there was a little bit of a sense of loss there for sure. And the key thing for me was to explain to him that look, you haven't actually lost this money. You can sell back at any time. And obviously from my side it was a bit of learning knowing that the stock valuations go up and down. We know in the long run in 10, 20 year period they will typically be up. But it was a matter of kind of trying to guide him a little bit on that. And truth be told, the stock did do very, very well. So he actually got lucky a little bit. I would have been just as happy if it had dropped in value, because that would have been a nice opportunity for me to teach him about, look, we're in for the long run here, and we're still going to receive those profits every year in terms of dividends.
That's easy for you to say. If it had gone down, it would have been a good chance to teach him a lesson. I'm not sure if he'd have been as happy.
I know. We say that, right? But when it comes to investing, we all make so many mistakes. And so for me, a part of me was that I made so many mistakes when I first started too. So part of me was like, look, the sooner he can learn those mistakes, the better he's going to be in the long run. You know, that was my kind of notion a little bit in that front. But yeah, look, let me put it this way. I put my foot down a little bit in terms of trying to guide him. But I knew in the long run it was going to pay off for him. And yeah, obviously he's very, very happy. When his confirmation came along last year, he had bought more index funds again. So he actually did it again with his next lot of money that came in. So he's well into the habit now of saving and investing, which I think is quite good.
Right. So just to go back to his 700, I'm fascinated now. How has that actually done so far?
It's nearly doubled in 5 years. Obviously, it's been an exceptional 5 years with the share market. But yeah, he's done well, and he's quite happy with his return, you know. And obviously, I've kind of said to him, look, that isn't always normal. Obviously, this year it's been a little bit more difficult. The share market's been down a little bit overall. But again, we don't try to get too worked up about the yearly fluctuations. We're trying to encourage them to look long term. He's about to turn 14. He's got decades of investing left in his lifetime, and that's really the big sell that you're trying to get through to kids at a young age, is that this is for the long haul, ideally, you know.
Right. He doesn't have like a 21st birthday party type goal in this. There isn't a moment where he wants to leave you perhaps and go away with some of his best friends. That hasn't been factored into this, no?
It hasn't. And you know what? That does come up every so often. So my second child, actually, when he had his communion, he did the same thing. And every so often it's, oh, there's a nice toy down in Smith's Toys there. Can I go down and take the money out? And I would say, of course you can. Of course, we can sell that now today. but you will be losing that compounding. So are you sure it's something that you really, really want? So we definitely try and teach that element of, are you buying something because you want it, or is it actually a need? And, you know, is it an impulse purchase, or is it something you really, really want? So it's trying to find that balance when it comes to spending money and keeping money invested in the long run.
Right. Have your other children been as interested?
Definitely. So as I said, my second child did the same. My third child, who's only 8, he is crazy. He was smart enough to work out that he could take granny's €5 pocket money that he was getting a week, and he was putting it into daddy's bank account, which was paying a whopping 12% interest a year, 1% a month, as a way to teach them about saving. And eventually granny cottoned on and realized, look, I've got to stop giving him the fiver, because he's actually not spending it, he's saving it. So there's little tricks that we do try and teach the kids where we can. They wanted a cat. We got a couple of cats a few years ago. We introduced the concept of a pet tax. So their pocket money was actually taxed to pay for the pet, just a little bit, obviously. And then they would go down to the shop, and they would actually then pick up various things for the cat to see where the money was going. So we're trying to introduce some of these money concepts, these things that we deal with as adults on a daily basis, to the children in a very, very small capacity.
I think a lot of parents listening to this are wondering where you've been all their lives, Michael. I think the communion money just disappears over the hills normally. It's gone before you know it. And if you even ask them where it is, they can't even tell you in most cases. But you have been a bit lucky in this, haven't you? In the last 5 years have been a good time to be investing.
There's a huge element of luck for us. And obviously, outside of what we did with the kids, we've been investing ourselves and I guess trying to find our own, make our own family financially independent. It wasn't always like that at the time. And that's the big thing. We had to go through two big scary events, which was obviously COVID and then the Ukraine war. So at the time, it was quite scary. But I guess, like anything, if you buy and hold, and you don't feel that panic of selling when the world feels like it's crumbling, that's the key to it, to any form of investing, is having that long run strategy and realizing that when there is fear and people are panic selling, that's actually a good time to buy. So that was very much, we knew that in ourselves. We'd learned the hard way from that, from previous investing. And this time around, we managed to time it quite well.
Right. For your children to be learning those lessons now is fantastic, isn't it?
I think so. And again, there's a balance, right? Because it's very easy to go down too far the other way and be too frugal and not spend enough money. It's about intentional spending and making sure that what they are spending on is actually things that they want and actually going to bring them long-lasting happiness. So it's definitely a balancing act there to try and get the messaging right.
Right. Now, a key ingredient in all this, of course, is you yourself, Michael, isn't it? I mean, let's say you're a bit like Liam Neeson here. You have special skills. Not every other parent listening to this will have the kind of skills you have to be able to advise them on index funds or stuff like that, will they?
I guess so, yeah. And look, it's one of those things where this isn't taught in schools, right? So as adults, we come out, we start getting a paycheck. We don't really know what to do with that money. We spend it because that seems like the right thing to do. And I guess for us, we'd got to a stage where we started asking bigger questions. You know, do we have to keep grinding away at work 9 to 5 every single day? Is there more we can be doing with our money? And so a lot of it came from that, and really a lot of self-education, reading books and just learning about this stuff day by day to try and get into better money habits.
When did that kind of that journey start for you?
It was back in end of 2017, start of 2018. So about 7 or 8 years ago, very much just having the normal Irish middle class life, living paycheck to paycheck, making sure that everything kind of balanced, putting everything on our credit card and hoping we had enough money next month to pay the credit card, that sort of lifestyle. And it was very much just a look, let's sit down. I managed to get a promotion at work, so I knew I had some new money coming in. And I kind of sat down with my wife and said, look, how about we don't just increase our lifestyle to cover this new amount of money? Why don't we start saving and start looking out for our future? We were 33 at the time, so I guess relatively young. But it was an opportunity for us to kind of, I guess, change direction.
And did you have the skills at the time? I mean, were you working in the financial services or in investment banking or something?
No, I'm a software developer. I was terrible at the start and I made so many mistakes. And that's why I knew when my son's communion money came, I knew what the right thing was to do. So I initially lost a lot of money. I was doing short-term trades. I was investing in silly things that I shouldn't have been going anywhere near. So initially I did lose a lot of money and I had to learn the hard way. Right, we need to be thinking about this from a long run point of view, you know, buying into an index fund and holding that long term, and that sort of thinking. It's so easy to try and think we've got to make shortcuts and we've got to try and get rich quick. But the reality is, you know, to find financial independence comes from good daily habits that consume over a long period of time.
Right. I say anyone listening to you in a similar situation is thinking, this sounds like the good life to me, is thinking, I too would probably make all the same mistakes. But how did you learn? You talked about reading books. Where do you acquire those skills to not make those mistakes?
Yeah, the great thing in Ireland is there's meetup groups available where you can go along, like personal finance meetup groups, or FIRE, which stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. So there's opportunities to go and meet like-minded people, and that certainly helped me. There's various podcasts around as well, my own one included, which follows our story to financial independence, which is the Irish FIRE podcast. There's other ones in Ireland as well. Paddy Delaney has one, which is Informed Decisions. So there's various podcasts you can learn. There's great books available as well out there, personal finance books. So there's various things you can do to kind of learn how this stuff works. Obviously, YouTube can be a great help as well. So it's kind of getting stuck into some of that. Again, it's not taught in schools,
right?
But we have to kind of educate ourselves a little bit and just try and see what to do. But to be honest, for most of us, I wouldn't even worry so much about the investing side early on. I would just aim to save money. If you can learn to save and have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses saved and even an Irish deposit account, that's really the first place to start before worrying about where that money's going to go long term. So in many cases, it's just about being in a good habit, having a positive savings rate, and putting your money away. And in our case, we started saving maybe 10% a month. And by the end, towards the end, we were saving well over 50%. So we got into better habits. We got into things of learning how to earn more money and reduce our expenses. And the snowball just kind of created from there. And after 7 years, we're now in a place where if we didn't have to work, we didn't go to work, we would be okay. It doesn't mean we don't work, but we have the option there if we wanted to.
So you have achieved the goal, the financial independence has come.
It's come, and it's an interesting thing because, you think to yourself, my gosh, you can do anything you like now. But the reality is you've kind of worked it off a set amount. In our case, we worked it off 40,000 euros a year as a family of five. So we can survive and live quite comfortably off that. But it doesn't pay for all the nice things that you start thinking that you might want to do. Holidays, home renovations, new cars. So we kind of sacrificed all of that for years. And now we're at a stage where we're starting asking some of those bigger questions of, right, now we're in a stage where if we lost our job tomorrow, we'd be okay. But hey, maybe we still work. We work for a bit of fun, or we go down to part-time work. We do casual consultancy work. So there's different things that you start to ask about how you could be spending your time. Work isn't the enemy. And I think for many years, I thought work was the enemy. But if you can find work that you find fulfilling, that you love, then that's really the ultimate in terms of what this is all about. It's ultimately about building a better life, an extraordinary life, if you like.
Very interesting stuff, Michael. I just very quickly, I'm wondering if somebody wants to try this, would you recommend maybe putting a small bit of money that you're willing to lose and starting to take it from there?
Absolutely. Look, even 100 euros invested in an ETF allows you to start and get used to it, right? Because it's scary. Investing is scary at first. And if you're scared to lose 100 euros, let alone having 200,000 euros in there, it's a lot scarier when you start to see those ups and downs. So it's got to start somewhere. And if it can start as small as 100 euros, and look, if you lose that, you're going to learn from it. But hopefully, with guidance and a little bit of education, you'll get comfortable with the fact that that's in there for many, many years to come. And it's going to ride all of those bad things that happen in the next two or three decades and the good.
Great stuff. Listen, I hope your children's funds continue to do well. Michael, I have a text here from a listener who says, I literally still have my confirmation money. When my parents moved home a few years ago, they found my old post office book. I put 30 quid in 1981, and the post office says it's worth over 200 euro today. Is that a good... Has Matt done well there, Michael?
He's done well because he still has it. It would have been better in a index fund. However, I'm delighted for him that it has returned over that time.
Great stuff. Michael, lovely talking to you today. Thanks very much indeed. Michael Houghton there, host of the Irish FIRE podcast, a show about financial independence.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.